Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers who work in many fields and teach us the art of living, how to work in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace, and use the technological advances available to us. Approximately every 2,500 years, a new teacher brings a body of teaching to humanity that is suited to our needs at that particular time. Usually this takes place at the end of an age. Right now, as the age of Pisces declines and our solar system aligns with the constellation Aquarius, new energies are beginning to make themselves felt. As these Aquarian energies of sharing and justice stream into our planet, the need for change can be seen more clearly. A period of chaos ensues as the old order lessens its grip on humanity, and the impulse of sharing, justice and peace inspires us to move forward in evolution as a united group.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our wonderful program that we share with you every week. And the following article I'm going to start with today was reprinted in the July-August issue of Share International magazine, and it was actually told by the master through Benjamin Krem on the 17th of January 2011, but I can assure you it's totally valid for today, and it's entitled Man's Essential Brotherhood. For untold ages, man has wandered the earth for sustenance, gain, security, and peace. As tribes and even nations, he has crisscrossed the planet over and over again, fighting with and intermarrying with a long succession of disparate people. The result of this endless wandering is the one humanity today.
No matter the differences in colour, religion, tradition and language, all men are descendants of common ancestors and have evolved by the same means to their present state. That this present state undoubtedly favours some groups over others is the result of many historical factors and not of any innate difference in intelligence or adaptability. Throughout history, groups have risen to prominence for a longer or shorter time, only to sink back into obscurity again, leaving their creativity to remind later generations of their presence. All of this being true, it is essential for modern humanity to see itself as one, and the differences in appearance, the result of relatively recent climatic conditions, together with the different ray influences which have manifested regularly through the emerging racial types. Humanity is still evolving in consciousness together as one.
Advancing together, each race and sub-race adds some new quality to the whole. The process of repeated incarnations ensures that gradually each individual inherits the new knowledge and awareness of the epoch. If men truly understood the complexity and beauty of this process, gone forever would be the dislike and distrust, the racism of today. Men would realize that in truth they are brothers, journeying together on a seemingly endless voyage of self-discovery. When we, your elder brothers, work more openly, you will find that this truth is central in our understanding of man's nature and relationship. The human family is the nourishing base of our lives. In it, we learn to cooperate and thus create together, fashioning the rich tapestry of our shared identity.
How, then, can men come to this essential understanding? We, the Brotherhood, will demonstrate this relationship in all we do, and men will come to see themselves thus, as brothers all. Sharing will bring men to this happy pass and will glorify them in their new demonstration of truth. So shall it be. Then will men conquer the heights of achievement, sharing their knowledge and experience. Gone forever will be the false barriers which men have erected to keep at a distance their brothers, realizing them at last as themselves. Now we'd like to read an article from the Point of View section. And this is titled, Why 2020 Could Turn Out to Be a Transformative Year. And it was written by Zoe Well. 2020 could turn out to be one of the most transformative years of our collective lives, marking the turning point when unjust, destructive and inhumane systems began to be toppled and transformed.
Let's imagine historians looking back at 2020 and describing it as the year when these societal systems began to change in earnest. It's easy to feel overwhelmed by the sheer awfulness of 2020. First came the bushfires in Australia. They burned more than 72,000 square miles, nearly the size of Minnesota, and killed more than 1 billion animals. Next came COVID-19, which, as of this writing, has infected nearly 8 million people and killed nearly 500,000. With the US experiencing more deaths than any other country. Then came the videotaped murder of George Floyd under the knee of a Minneapolis police officer, following closely on the heels of other racist acts and murders in the news, which led to an outpouring of rage, riots, and protests in communities across every state in the US, with more than 10,000 people arrested in less than 2 weeks.
And yet, despite all this, or rather because of it, 2020 could turn out to be one of the most transformative years of our collective lives, marking the turning point when unjust, destructive and inhumane systems began to be toppled and transformed. The changes are starting already. Hundreds of thousands of white people are embracing Black Lives Matter across the globe, speaking up in ways they never have before, with a new willingness to learn about white privilege and the impacts of persistent racism, not only within law enforcement and the prison system, but also within the systems of education, healthcare, food, city planning, infrastructure, politics and economics. As these new white allies support legislative and policy changes, there may finally be enough votes to upend racist structures. The chant, Defund the Police, has gone from a rallying cry to the beginning of reality, with the Minneapolis City Council voting to transform law enforcement in their city, starting with police department defunding. In New York and Los Angeles, leaders are looking at their police departments with fresh eyes, fresh ideas, and changing budgets. Every day, new policies are put in place to end police brutality, and this is just the beginning.
What might COVID-19's positive transformations look like? 3 months of remote learning have led to long overdue discussions about the purpose and system of schooling. Teachers, parents and school administrators are asking questions such as, what is important to learn and why? What thinking skills do our children most need to develop? How can we best educate children for the important roles they will play to ensure we have functioning democracies, equitable societies, and a healthy planet? Such changes in education, should they come, will mean that students learn to be solutionaries, people who provide ideas and blueprints for positively transforming societal institutions and structures. It is solutionary thinking that enabled Minneapolis City Council members to cast their vote this week to create new systems for safety and protection in their city. Without the work of thoughtful systems thinkers who shared innovative approaches for keeping the city and its citizens safe, council members might not have felt confident to cast that vote.
COVID-19 may also lead to the transformation of our food systems. Stories about the impacts of meat eating have abounded during the pandemic, introducing people to the stark realities behind the flesh they consume. People working in slaughterhouses, euphemistically referred to as meatpacking plants, are contracting COVID-19 in large numbers and many are dying. President Trump deemed meat production essential. But surely it is not, and exposés of the industry during the pandemic are revealing much more than the health hazards in slaughterhouses. Factory farming has been unambiguously implicated in previous epidemics, and the animal wet markets in China remain the likeliest cause of COVID-19. People are also learning that eating meat in the quantities that they do in the US for example, increases the incidence of heart disease, strokes, diabetes and some cancers, is a primary contributor to climate change, remember those bushfires, and is horrifically cruel to animals.
We could well look back at 2020 as the tipping point when people finally began reducing their consumption of animals and animal products as a way of preventing future pandemics, protecting the environment and wildlife habitats, addressing climate change and saving more human lives each year from preventable diseases than were lost due to COVID-19. One potentially positive outcome from the COVID-caused recession is that the economic upheaval has also resulted in a head-spinning shift in economic thinking from some of the biggest beneficiaries of capitalism, who are beginning to re-examine their long-held beliefs and discuss economic reforms. This paves the way for solutionary thinkers in economics to have their work reviewed seriously and embraced by those in power who have refused until now to consider changes to our economic system that could effectively address inequity, poverty, and environmental devastation.
Politics is facing a reckoning too. With much trepidation surrounding the upcoming presidential election, for example, will it be hacked? Will it be fair? Will black people continue to be disenfranchised through voter suppression? Will people be able to vote by mail during the pandemic? And with citizens speaking out by the hundreds of thousands day after day in the streets of our towns and cities, we may be looking at the largest voter turnout in living memory. And with every subsystem within politics under scrutiny, lobbying, gerrymandering, campaign finance and the two-party system itself, there's new hope for a solutionary overhaul. So let's imagine historians looking back at 2020 and describing it as the year when these societal systems began to change in earnest. This could be the legacy of an otherwise awful year. Achieving these outcomes won't be easy.
In the midst of dazzling examples of growing awareness, generosity and action, we are also witnessing divisiveness deepen, hostilities grow and threats to democracy gain traction. The interconnected systems that perpetuate destructive and cruel practices are tremendously difficult to transform and will surely require our best selves. We must meet this time of great change as engaged, compassionate, well-informed people who harness our anger, our sorrow, and fear towards what may be the most important work of our lifetimes. If you've been hesitating to use your three V's, that is, voice, veto, and vote, consider this your moment. Use your voice to speak clearly. Veto destruction and injustice with how you spend your money. Vote like lives depend on you, because they do. While we cannot bring back those lost to bushfires in Australia, a global pandemic or years of oppression, we can bring about change. We have the power to make 2020 the year that ushered in a new era of peace, equity and respect for all life. This is our moment. Let's get to work. And you can look that up if you like on commondreams.org. Thank you.
And so we would like to now read to you another article by Benjamin Krems Master, and the theme, which we think is probably relevant to what we've already read out in this program, is justice. And its title is Human Rights, and it begins, "The question of human rights is at the centre of modern man's problems. In the past, these social structures dominated the lives of the individual and set up a hierarchical series of relationships in which everyone knew his place. The wife obeyed the husband, the man obeyed his lord, the lord obeyed and carried out the will of the king, while the clergy acted as intermediaries between God and man. These relationships, while artificial and imposed, serve the needs of societies struggling to find their identities and place in the world. Today, all of this has changed. Apart from a few areas in which the ruling groups cling to the old forms, often at the cost of civil dissension and war, the peoples have asserted their right to self-determination. They have taken upon themselves the responsibility for just government and, by various procedures of representation, can make their wills known. More than ever before, the peoples are calling for a closer participation in the decisions affecting their lives.
This new freedom has set up a number of tensions which await resolution. Everywhere the cry for more freedom sounds forth, answered by an equally strident call for order and the rule of law from the groups concerned with maintaining the existing structures. Altogether, new approaches are required to harmonise the aims of these opposing groups. That such harmony may be slow and difficult to attain must be accepted. That many conflicting viewpoints must be reconciled is self-evident. Yet, while we await the solution of these problems, it might be advisable to set down some basic principles, some guidelines, without which the problems may appear to be intractable.
The first consideration is that the laws governing society should be fair and applicable to everyone. Without such basic justice and impartiality, no one can be expected to observe the law. Frequently today, there is one law for the rich and another for the poor, a certain recipe for social strife. A further need is for the laws to be known and understood and couched in language accessible to all. Too often are men held prisoner and judged to be guilty of breaching laws long outmoded and known only to specialists. The greatest need is for an ever closer identity of interest between the individual and society. Only thus can the freedom of one and the stability of the other be preserved. How can this best be achieved? The United Nations organisation has formulated a code of human rights which, if implemented, would go far to resolve the existing social tensions and to provide the basis for a just and stable society.
So far, this Universal Declaration of Human Rights remains but a dream for millions of dispossessed and disenfranchised people in every country in the world. The aim must be to establish, with all possible speed, these basic rights in all nations. With the acceptance of the principle of sharing, this becomes possible. No longer need men fight for the right to work, to feed their families, for a measure to control over their destinies. At a stroke, the acceptance of sharing will heal the divisions, end the confrontations, and cure the malady of the present situation, leading men out of the morass in which they have foundered. Make sharing then the goal of your endeavour. Show that the world now needs more than ever in its history the establishment of this just and basic principle, through the acceptance of which alone man will find and demonstrate his divinity.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you very much for listening in. And if you would like further information, we recommend checking out the website share-international.org. Otherwise, feel free to contact us via email at sharenz@yahoo.com. Love and blessings to you all.